Oahu's mumps outbreak added three more cases yesterday. They will likely not be the last. Just like the flu, mumps is a respiratory disease spread when an infected person coughs or sneezes, and that's exactly why it's so difficult to trace. That leaves a lot to conjecture about how mumps is back in our state and how the current 42 cases might well grow. Earlier today, I spoke with state epidemiologist Dr. Sarah Park, who sees little pattern in how the disease may spread.
Respiratory diseases are always frustrating because just by the way they're transmitted human to human, you can imagine. I mean, think about our regular flu season. You know, we can't connect any cases really outside of a family, you know, and hearsay. So imagine this, at least on this, on our side here, you know, mumps is a highly unusual infection. You know, we don't normally have it, within the state. We're not endemic for mumps. The U.S. in general is not endemic for mumps. So we know that if you have a locally acquired case, it's going to be an unusual presentation. You know, we're talking about a respiratory disease, essentially. So transmitted human to human, that's the challenging part, you know, from people coughing and sneezing. So, you know, unfortunately, if you're sick and you drag yourself into work or school or you go shopping or go to a potluck or go to church, you know, that just makes, you know, our job and the job of trying to protect the community that much harder, trying to track things down, because we have to look at every place you could have been while you were infectious.
But that makes this all the more interesting to talk about in light of people perhaps who have decided not to get vaccinations. I mean, when kids are small, they usually get measles, mumps, rubella. But we've seen a backlash over successive decades of people who just don't want to do vaccinations for whatever reason.
Right.
Is there any reason to indicate that this might be some of what we're seeing?
You know, it's hard to say. That would be a lot of speculation. You know, I think that if anything, it's just a reminder of why we do vaccinate, that these diseases are highly contagious. While this disease may not cause as many severe cases, you know, fortunately, many of the cases have been able to convalesce or get better at home. You know, it still is a potentially serious disease, can potentially have some complications. Such as sterility for males and females. The more severe sort of complications can be pneumonia or encephalitis or brain inflammation, essentially. Fortunately, those severe complications are rare, but we have to think about that, especially in our community. You know, the older you are when you're infected, the more likely you're at risk for the severe complications. There are growing numbers of people who have problems with their immune system because, you know, we're able to help folks, you know, cancer treatments, for instance, et cetera. You know, so these people are at increased risk, and we're, you know, it's the community effort is, it's not just about protecting yourself, it's about protecting our families, our communities as well. And so it's a really good sort of a wake-up call as to why we do vaccinate. The vaccines, you know, for mumps, the mumps component, while it may not be 100% effective, it's pretty effective. I mean, if you just think about, you know, a lot of people have been asking about, well, there are these kids in schools that are getting it and they're vaccinated. Well, look at it this way. You know, we look at a school, one of the schools I can think of, 100% of the kids, and kudos to those parents, by the way, 100% of those kids are vaccinated. And, yeah, we had, a couple of kids in that school who came down with mumps, unfortunately. But, you know, it could have been a lot worse. If the vaccine didn't work, or, God forbid, half the school weren't vaccinated, we'd be seeing 10, 20, maybe 100 cases of mumps all at once, just from that one school, not the one or two cases. So if anything, people should take heart in knowing that the vaccine does work. It's not 100%, but it's pretty effective, if you ask me. Just seeing how quickly something like this can spread in the community because it is a respiratory disease. Unfortunately, we continue to keep recommending to people stay home from work and school. And I think a lot of folks might privately admit that they've sometimes still gone out while they're sick, but protect the community, protect their family and friends from their illness by not encouraging them to be outside or allowing for that to be out and about. Because every one of us can think about a sick person who came into work, or, you know, we know about a child who went to school, and pretty soon everyone was, you know, sick. You know, just that's just how it spreads.
The last time that we had an outbreak 16 years ago compared to this one, are there any similarities? Is there anything that you can draw from it about why we saw it happen?
No, unfortunately, I can't, and I would preface to say that I wasn't here 16 years ago, so I don't know all the details of that particular time, but I can say that for this outbreak, the only thing I can say is that we know it was probably introduced by someone who traveled somewhere. Unfortunately, right now, there are so many outbreaks and clusters going on the mainland as well as internationally that it really requires that all of us are vigilant when we travel. This is why it's important to assure you have all your vaccinations, even your routine ones, not just the travel vaccines, that you're careful about monitoring yourself when you come home from such travel, even if it's, you know, you think, oh, it's just to Washington State or to California, you know, it's not a big deal. Where, what could possibly, what kind of infections could I possibly bring up, you know, bring home? Well, you just never know. I mean, and so it's no matter where you travel, even to another island, I think it's important to just be cognizant of, you know, what it is, you know, taking care of yourself and then taking care of protecting others when you get home. So I think that's probably, given that we know it's not endemic here, that's the most likely scenario as to how it was introduced. But who introduced it from where, I'm really doubting we'll ever be able to determine that. It's also possible that what we're actually looking at is a couple of introductions, and that what we're seeing now are commonalities among a few of the cases that are linking them up. And perhaps it's just that, you know, there's some common travel to certain areas where there are outbreaks occurring right now.
There's this case on Kauai, which seems to be the outlier.
Right.
And a little strange.
It's strange and it's concerning for a couple of reasons. If it truly represents a connection to Oahu, that's obviously a concern, because it means that someone was traveling while they're potentially infectious, and they potentially could have infected more than this one person. You know, this one person, fortunately, sounds like from our investigation, did all the right things. As soon as they were ill, and even before they were ill, they basically stayed at home and didn't go to work. So kudos to that person. But, you know, we don't know for certain, you know, whether anyone else would have been infected by whoever infected this person. You know, so we're monitoring very closely. It's why we sent out a medical advisory again to remind physicians, not just in Kauai, not just on Oahu, but on all islands, to be cognizant, aware. There's always a potential. People are constantly traveling that, you know, it could be introduced anywhere else. The other concerning thing is that it, again, is a reminder, if it's not a connection to Oahu and it's a connection to something else, that we are connected to many other places. You know, many of our residents, many of us travel. We get many visitors from so many places, and I've already mentioned there are outbreaks even now in other states. I get public health alerts about them, so I know there's activity going on in other states as well as internationally, and we just have to be mindful. As we can see with what's going on in Oahu, it's very contagious, and you know, it takes the entire community coming together to try and protect ourselves.
Sarah, we're going to go in just a second, but I just wanted to ask you, your gut sense of this is that we may see other cases?
We may very well see other cases just based on our current investigation. Some of the findings, as I said, we have continued concerns because some cases, unfortunately, weren't as good as the individual on Kauai about keeping themselves isolated. And so we're following through and trying to identify contacts. But it's difficult, as you can imagine. You know, with a foodborne investigation, it's hard enough, you know, trying to get people to remember what they ate. But a little bit easier, I would say, compared with a respiratory disease investigation. investigation where you're trying to get them to remember everywhere they were and, you know, potentially who they were in contact with. You know, if they went to a store, they're not going to know which store clerk that they talked to, you know, and for example. And so these kind of things, you know, make it more challenging in terms of trying to, you know, determine, you know, what who potentially may be at risk. And it doesn't help also sometimes, unfortunately, some cases may not be quite so willing, let's say, to help us out here and help the community out and answer our questions. They may be a little difficult, and that makes it that much harder. So we're unfortunately looking at potentially more cases before this burns out, but I'm hopeful with your help to if we can get the word out for the community to understand this is a time we all come together, which means we look at our vaccination records, our children's vaccination records, we assure that we're immune, you know, that we follow recommendations, the prevention messages in terms of, you know, if you're sick, staying home, and if at all possible, figure out something else to do instead of if you need to be productive for work, talk with your employer, colleagues, try to figure something else out for school. You know, in some ways, thank goodness school will be out. So, you know, hopefully kids won't be in those congregated settings, but it also means making sure if they are sick, they're not out and about playing or in the mall either, because that's not helpful. So everyone coming together, think about how can we all do our part to, you know, stop this transmission of this disease.
Well, thank you very much for the time today.
Sure. Thank you.
Dr. Sarah Park is the Hawaii State Epidemiologist and Chief of the Disease Outbreak Control Division. She directs all activities related to emerging infectious disease, surveillance and investigations, immunizations, and public health preparedness.